eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, everyone, back to the post-game broadcast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And UCLA just finished off a 38-20, pretty much a blowout win over USC in the crosstown rivalry, sending USC to a 7-5 record after they started the year 6-0, which is funny, very, very funny. USC lost 5-6 to close the year. Lincoln Riley not looking so good. UCLA, obviously the big story of this game was the defensive performance. UCLA scored 38, but one of those was a defensive score, and UCLA set the offense up. The defense set the offense up with four different drives that started on the USC side of the field, and they turned those into three touchdowns. So that was a big part of the game for UCLA. Leatu Latu played an insane game, single-handedly stopped one USC drive with a couple of sacks. I think it was the one that finished with a USC field goal to go down, whatever it was, 31-13. Just a really, really, really impressive defensive performance, especially when you consider Jay Toia went down pretty early in the middle stretches of the game. And UCLA operated most of the second half without a true defensive tackle in there. A lot of the ends playing inside and still shut down USC's rushing attack almost entirely all game. And then on top of that, put a bunch of pressure on Caleb Williams. USC had a lot of empty yards. It's, you know, they finished with almost 6 yards per play, but it was a lot of driving between the 20s and then getting completely stoned in the red zone. Really, really impressive showing. And just clearly one team came to play and one team did not. Just the effort, the energy level from UCLA's players was just at a completely other level. And it showed. They were much more physical, much more energetic, particularly that defense. The defense was really, really impressive. And it wasn't just up front. I mean, I think for a lot of this game, the secondary played pretty well. There was, you know, the single coverage bust to Brendan Rice over Jalen Davies. You know, there were a couple other plays like that, but Kenny Churchwell had a game. Alex Johnson played well. There was just a lot of really good from UCLA. I mean, even John Humphrey, he had like a couple of moments where guys caught balls on him, but he was right there. His coverage this year has been probably one of the highlights. But Kamari Ramsey coming back, I think, was huge. Huge for this defense. But again, Leatu Latu, the pressure he can put on. I mean, he's got 13 sacks now this year in 11 games. He's going to approach, he might even get it, he's going to approach his 15 sack goal for the season, which is crazy. It's crazy when a guy says something like that in the preseason and then achieves it. That is That is some self-actualization. It was a really, really impressive performance from this defense. They forced a ton of turnovers, and they were the kind of Marshawn Lloyd touchdown that went into the end zone was, you know, kind of lucky, you know, in the way that fumbles kind of bounce funny. But the one Kenny Churchwell just ripped away from Zachariah Branch was, you know, that's just pure effort. Not many guys are going to be able to rip that ball away from a receiver who's trying to hold on to it. And UCLA, I mean, if you want one example of which team wanted this more, that was it right there. That play. This guy ripped the ball away from that guy. One guy, a sixth-year senior, the other guy, a true freshman. Sixth-year senior wants this one bad, and he took it from that true freshman. For this defensive effort was among the best this season. I mean, I know we've talked a lot of crap about USC. I do it on the podcast of champions all the time. We did it in the pre run up to this game, but this was still a very, very good offense coming in, and UCLA made it look pretty pedestrian. I mean, they got some drives together. They moved the ball okay, but just USC was clearly shook by what UCLA could do defensively. They were shook from the beginning of the game. Caleb Williams looked like he was trying to get the ball out even quicker than he usually does. They just didn't look like they had a great answer built into their game plan for what UCLA was going to do. And then the obvious was that they didn't throughout the game. And that's got to feel good if you're Dan Lynn, that, you know, the way you have schemed this defense. I mean, we're now nearing the end of the season. You got to give Lynn his flowers a little bit. This is largely the same personnel as last year. This is almost entirely the same personnel as last year that, put together one of the worst defenses UCLA's had. And this year, again, with mostly the same guys, he's got UCLA as a defense that's, I mean, comfortably in the top 25 in most statistical categories. And they're sound at all levels. Like, it's not like the pass defense is horrible, but the run defense is really good. It's, you know, do they have some weaknesses? Yeah, if you can run the ball and pass the ball and you've got a pretty decent offensive line, that you're going to cause some issues. But how many teams have that? We've seen two this year, Arizona and Oregon State. USC didn't have the offensive line, which I kind of cited in the pregame. And the only thing I wish I'd done is compensated a little bit more for that, because, you know, how much of Arizona and Oregon State doing what they did to this defense had more to do with just their offensive lines being pretty good rather than whether they could run the ball and pass the ball pretty well. And I probably leaned a little bit too far away from that, because USC's offensive line wasn't good, and we knew that coming in. Really, really, really impressive performance from this defense. Offensively, I thought Ethan Garbers played the game of his life. I've called him a check down quarterback, and I think that's still pretty fair. But for a check down quarterback, he played pretty close to a lights out game. Yeah, he missed some throws downfield, but what he was able to do under duress in this game was so essential for turning this into a semi blowout at the end rather than the nail biter it was looking to be coming into the second half. How many throws did he make while he was getting hit or nearly hit, where it was just a little dump off, but it was the right dump off at the right time? The T.J. Harden touchdown throw for one, but just there were a handful of these plays where he was the only quarterback, I think, currently healthy on this roster who was going to make those plays. You know, it's a combination of his mobility, but also, you know, just having a little bit more of that, you know, older guy feel for the game. But even still, he was making plays that he doesn't usually make. I think he really wanted this one, too. And it was, you know, again, it was just one of those things that was evident. He took a hard hit, came right back in the game on that T.J. Harden throw. But he played a really, really, really good game. Interestingly, in the run game, UCLA, it was a heavy T.J. Harden day, which, you know, if I knew the coaching staff was always responsive to, like, understanding, like, which one of these runners is more explosive, which one isn't, I would have, you know, said that. I said in the preview, you know, I thought Harden could, you know, have a big explosive day, but he ended up with 22 carries to steals 12. And in those 22 carries, he had 142 yards and a touchdown, along with the touchdown catch. He had, you know, again, probably one of his best games of his career. That version of T.J. Harden is, I mean, first you got to caveat that USC has a horrible defense, but that version of T.J. Harden is, he's the kind of guy who can start for a good UCLA team. And so that was encouraging to see. The receiving core, you know, it continues to be kind of an odd thing. You know, UCLA, I think, only had a couple of targets for Kyle Ford. Ended up with 6 targets for J. Michael Sturdivant, only caught him on 1. A couple of those were just wildly overthrown balls. It's just, you know, it's hard to explain at this point, but Logan Loya had 13 targets in this game. 9 catches, credited with 1 drop. I think he had a couple more. It's, you know, that's the one curiosity with this offense. Well, not one, not the one, but it's one of the major ones is what went on with this receiving core this year. Because it's ended up being a lot different from what it looked to be in the spring, when it looked like, you know, we haven't even heard what happened with Titus Mokialatimalala. But it looked like J. Michael Sturdivant, Kyle Ford, Cam Brown, going to be, you know, heavy usage guys at the top of this. And it's increasingly turned into the Logan Loya show as the season's worn on. And some of that is the, you know, the offensive line being in poor shape. But it's just curious. It's very, very curious. Hudson Habermill, a couple of touchdowns. One just completely open, running free. But the last one to kind of cap the blowout. Put him up 38-13, I think, at that point. Rumbling through some... I mean, it was just, again, another one of those indications of just how the motivation level of these two teams was so different, because Hudson Habermill just makes a simple cut, defender is just lost, and then runs through tacklers all the way to the end zone on what should have been, like, a little dump-off that was dropped for, like, you know, a nice, moderate gain, turns into a touchdown. He played well. It was so, yeah. So UCLA, that puts them at 7-4. It drops USC to 7-5. I guess the elephant in the room continues to be in the room, which is, what does this mean? And you know, I'm reluctant to like go poo-poo on this win, because I think, you know, UCLA beating USC is always going to matter, to everybody. That being said, they're, you know, it's 7-4, and they're still the same team that lost to an ASU team that is currently, let's just pull up the recent score. All right, so in between ASU losing 55-3 to Utah and currently losing 49-13 to Oregon in the fourth quarter, they beat UCLA 17-7. Arizona, which is in the third year of a rebuild, is now at 8-3, poised to go 9-3, largely on the strength of some impressive recruiting to Tucson by Jed Fish. And they beat UCLA this year for the second year in a row. As much as you'd like to say, well, you know, maybe this is a sign of, you know, Chip still has this team and they're going to be motivated and all that going forward, USC's really bad. I mean, that's the reality. They've gone 1-5 over the last 6 games of the year. Basically, every team with a pulse that they have played, they've lost to. And, you know, how much credit do you give a coach for winning a game against a, you know, mediocre USC team? And, you know, I don't know the definitive answer for that for Martin Jarmond. But, you know, watching the way Arizona's been able to turn things around, watching how, you know, Arizona State last week looked like it came in with a game plan to win the game, you know, much the same way Arizona last year came into a game against UCLA with a game plan to win the game, where UCLA just didn't. It was that same dichotomy, and I don't think this result erases that. Who knows how this is going to play out. Obviously, everyone heard Jarmond's comments through Chip Kelly, through the broadcasters on the telecast, because they said it a couple of times. And that certainly doesn't give the indication that he's intending to make a switch tomorrow. And, you know, I think at this point that would be, I mean, probably unrealistic. But still, I don't know what it means for the end of the year. So it's all, I mean, it's a really interesting situation. I mean, UCLA is nearly 6 years into Chip Kelly. This is another win, but it puts UCLA at 34-33 now through six seasons. Then they have the Cal game in the final game of the season, and we'll see which way that one goes. But, you know, is that what everyone wants from the UCLA program? You know, something with largely but not entirely good citizens. You know, that's the rep. But, you know, all that kind of stuff that, you know, more or less goes, you know, a hair over or under 500, generally speaking. I can't answer for you. You have to decide for yourself. But I think that's kind of the philosophical battle line being drawn there. But, you know, again, I don't want to diminish anyone's enjoyment of this win. Blowing out USC is always a fun time, I think, for everyone in Westwood, everyone in UCLA land. So enjoy the win. I'm going to continue to enjoy being in Hawaii. We'll get ready for the Maui Invitational next weekend or next week. All right, that's it for me. Talk to you again this week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.